Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is the Neurolo monthly call on the 9th of September 2013. On the call today, we have Garth Bruin, Thomas Lovenhaupt, Darlene Thompson, Kerry Brown, Gordon Shilcott, Eduardo Diaz, Garth Graham, Mary McKercher, Glenn McKnight, Jolly McPhee, and Peter Knight. We have apologies from Evan Leibridge, Gareth Sherman, and Olivier Crépin-Leblanc. From staff, we have Heidi Ulrich, Silva Vivanco, Matt Ashkiani, and myself, Natalie Peregrin. I'd like to remind all participants to please state their names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Garth.
Thank you. This is Garth again. Can everybody hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay. If I could ask everybody if they have their agenda page open to refresh it. There was, I guess, an overwrite to the agenda I had posted, and some of it got deleted, and I tried to push as much of it back as I could before we got started. So while everybody's refreshing, if the secretary is on the line, could we have a call of the action items? Thank you.
Yes, the action items. Item 2.1 was last month's monthly call, which we focused mainly on the rules of procedure changes. Then there's the Neurolo monthly report, which I put in for July and August. 2.3, Neurolo call time will be at 3 o'clock all the time. 2.4, staff. On a March 18, 2013 ALAC briefing call on RAA changes, staff Margie Millam and Sam Eisner were asked to identify ICANN's economic advisors and provide the economic study document that was the basis for changes to RAA 3.3.6 and 3.3.7. Will at-large staff please forward this request again and note this is the sixth call for this information. 2.5, note. Standard agenda items 3 and 6 have been combined in a meeting supertopic number 3. 2.6, staff, please provide for future election instructions en français and en espagnol. 2.7, staff, please provide for future elections a test vote for a null item to ensure all ALSs have access and functionality. Too many ALSs have reported problems receiving the ballots. The ROP vote will serve as a test for the runoff vote. I believe the ROP vote came off without a hitch, though, that way, so that's one good thing. 2.8, staff, please advise on the status of translation of the ICANN news alert in Spanish and in French. 2.9, staff, 10.3.3, on tracking travel-related reimbursements, we need a better tracking system with full disclosure. Conversations via Skype, etc., cannot be tracked. 2.10, staff, please advise on the status of Indigenous Peoples Fellowship access in North America. 2.11, staff can confirm that the Neurolo Operating Principles vote was quorate and has passed, and staff has done that. 2.12, staff and members, runoff election will commence following this call. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Madam Secretary. This is Garth Bruin, Chair of Neurolo. One item that I did not get to post, I guess it got scrubbed somehow. I just wanted to make sure that Kerry Brown had access to the Skype chat for Neurolo. I'll be happy to add that later as an action item. Maybe a staff could just take note of it. And Heidi from staff has her hand up. Please go ahead, Heidi, on the floor. If Heidi is talking, we cannot hear her. Heidi is typing in the chat room. It says, RE, the economic study, I followed up again. I was informed that the study will be posted no later than Wednesday in its final stage of being prepared for posting. We'll join in a moment. This is Garth Bruin speaking for Heidi Ulrich. Okay, moving on into today's agenda. The first item after action items, number three, meetings and events, we have our Atlas II, which is our at-large summit, our second at-large summit, and that is coming up in June. And there are a number of, there's a working group that is looking for volunteers, and we, I don't recall, I'm on that working group myself, and I don't recall that a call has been scheduled or events have been scheduled for that. Does anybody on the call have any knowledge of a call coming up for Atlas? No? Okay. All right. We will try and find that out and get that information out there and get that posted. Yes.
Sorry, a couple of things. I'm back online.
Okay.
Also, I see that Eduardo, who is the co-chair of the Atlas II organizing committee, has his hand raised.
Fantastic. Eduardo, please, take the floor.
Hi, this is Eduardo, yes. I'm not sure when the next one is, but I think there's one before the end of September. And Heidi, let me know if I'm correct. I just wanted to say a few words about the timeline when we get there.
Okay.
It's a timeline. Yes, I can say something about the timeline now if you want.
Por favor, thank you.
What?
Go ahead, Eduardo, talk about the timeline.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to say that we're kind of off the timeline because the survey should have gone out by September 1st, but somehow we're in September 9th and have not been able to get in touch with Wolf Ludwig. I think staff also have been trying to get him since he's the chair of that the survey group, that survey that you have gone out at the beginning of September. So we were trying to get in touch with him. Otherwise, you know, things are moving. There is time to do this, but if we get to the end of September and we don't get the survey out, things are going to get really tied up. That's my report.
Okay, thank you very much. This is Garth Boone again. Heidi still has her hand up. Heidi, I'll recognize you if you want to talk some more.
Thank you, everyone. This is Heidi. I'd like to just go over a little bit of the action items, if I could, just to update them.
Yes, Heidi, please. This is Garth.
So, yes, on the economic study, I've spoken to legal today, and they assured me that the study is in the final stages of being posted, so no later than Wednesday we should see that. And again, many apologies for the delay in that. I know we've been talking about that for some time. The staff question about future election instructions in French and Spanish.
We can provide that once each text. Hi, sorry, this is Matt for the record. That's not a problem. We can provide the translations for future votes.
Okay. Then the next one, please provide for a future election a test vote on the null item to ensure all ALSs have access and functionality. Matt?
Hi, this is Matt for the record. I think that was supposed to be done in advance of the ROP vote. So if you can just provide me with some clarity if you would like that to still continue or if it's moot at this point.
Well, this is Garth for the record. Just so everybody understands, you know, we don't have elections that often. I mean, we absolutely have them once a year. But because we don't have them that often, officers change within ALSs. People change their email addresses, et cetera, et cetera. And sometimes people don't get their ballots, and sometimes the right person doesn't get the ballot. So we want to make sure that there are no bumps when we have an actual election, because in the last couple of elections, I think there were a couple of people who weren't able to vote or didn't get their ballots right away, and that may have just been because the ballot went to the wrong folder in their mailbox, et cetera, et cetera. So by having a test vote maybe a week before a real election, we would be able to hit all of those problems head on and resolve them before an actual election. And since we had the ROP vote last week, we actually addressed items, and we were able to fix them. So I'm just going to count that as the test vote for this, the runoff election this week. But for the next election, whatever it is that we have, we're adding some new items, like, for example, French and Spanish election instructions. We want to make sure that those go out as they're supposed to and that they're, you know, understandable by the communities that receive them, and that, you know, all the technical aspects of voting go off without a hitch. So what I'd like to do is just hold the next vote, well, this coming vote, the runoff vote, and then when we schedule another vote, that we work on a test vote in advance, and I'll work with staff to facilitate that. And Heidi has her hand up again, if you want to continue, Heidi.
Yes, please. So there are several issues that we have updates to provide to Heidi for the record. So the next one was, please advise on the status of translation of the ICANN news alert in Spanish and French. So I followed up with Jim Trengrove and Christina Rodriguez, who is the language services manager. The response is that the requests for translation into Spanish and French are made the same day that the English is posted. So results are returned in about 24 hours. The issue seems to be a backup in the web administration team of actually posting them. I was on the website for the ICANN news alerts today. It's about a month behind, so I can follow up on with web administration to see if they can get those posted as soon as they're sent. But we have recognized that there's been a bit of a backlog on getting things posted for on our side as well for at-large issues. Okay, next one is 2.9, tracking-related reimbursement. I'm just wondering, is this basically a wiki page where everyone who is due per diem is posted and then they announce when their per diem has reached their bank account? Is that what this is, the aim of this is?
Well, this is Gus. I think in general, just having collected stories from people about travel, I mean, sometimes people have certain issues with travel. And they don't always know, you know, how long it's going to take to resolve them and who they should be talking to. And some of the members in the community had come up with the idea of just a ticket number, a tracking number, so they can see, you know, if you have an issue, where their issue is in the process, and they have something that kind of, you know, links them to the issue that they've reported.
Okay. This is Heidi again. May I suggest that I work with Constituency Travel on this? See if they can do a ticketing system or some sort of wiki page, and then we'll get back to you.
Thank you.
Is that an action item? Sylvia, if you could please copy that as an action item. Okay, next one, 2.10. Please advise on the status of Indigenous Peoples Fellowship access in North America. Okay, there are a couple of issues here. So we have received a note from Janice Lang, who has said that the current fellowship program is not able to have the Indigenous issue for North America due to it being based on developing country issues. But we've been working very hard internally to see if we can get around that, and I think we've achieved it. Again, this is still very much in planning process, but Janice, Nora, and I had a meeting with Fadi last week, and things seem to be moving forward. This will be a development of a new pilot at-large exchange program, and the aim of that would be time-wise to have start post-Singapore. It would be a three-month program, up to three ALS representatives, hopefully new ones, meeting a criteria set by the ALAC, would be chosen, and it would be linked to the fellowship program. So it's not the fellow. If they wouldn't be part of it, the current system, they would be linked to it. And that's all being planned, sort of in beginning stages. So the original exchange program that at-large staff developed would be, first month would be orientation, and then linked mentoring to various working groups and various ALAC members. The second month would be on the ground. Again, timing for this would be in London in time for the Atlas II. So it would be a logistical and support for the Atlas II. And then the third month would be helping staff and community members implement those action items and do evaluation of that. So again, very much still in development. Now, we've spoken to Olivier about this, and one of the criteria, one of the slots could possibly be for an indigenous person from Naralo. And again, it depends on whether they meet the criteria. So this is basically the door for a fellowship is closed, but the window to include them in this at-large exchange program is opened.
Okay, this is Garth. That's really fascinating news. I mean, I'd love to get some more concrete information. Apparently, obviously, when that becomes available.
I was waiting for this call to basically announce it at the 30,000 foot level. So things are just moving very quickly on this. I'll forward the note from Janice about the fellowship program, and then as this at-large exchange program is developed, we'll definitely keep you in touch on that.
Okay, great. Was that everything from your end at the moment?
Just a couple of more. Let's see. Staff can confirm that the Naralo operating principles vote was quart and has passed. And I'm seeing Matt nod his head definitively, so that has passed. Congratulations. And staff and members runoff election will commence following the call. Yes, we are set for 23:59 UTC start today.
Great.
On that.
Thank you very much.
And actually, just pending, we are in urgent need of the text, and I think that's coming from Alan. So we'll follow up on that.
Great. Fantastic.
I think that's it from that end.
Okay. This is Garth Bruin. So resuming with the call agenda, we had passed through the Atlas discussion, and we're moving on just through a meeting wrap-up. 3.2 is the General Assembly for Naralo in Los Angeles. That's not until next year, or the year after, 2015 maybe. The next upcoming meeting is in Buenos Aires, and I just want to check in with staff if maybe you had asked and I had missed it, if we wanted to schedule a Naralo meeting during the meeting, and my answer is going to be yes, if that's true. And Heidi, you still have your hand up. Are you responding to my question?
No, sorry, that was an old hand. And this is Heidi. On the Naralo meeting for Buenos Aires, that is going to be, do you have a preference for a date?
Well, I just want to make sure that the time of the day is agreeable to our members. I guess it won't be too bad because it's going to be more or less equal to the North American time, so I guess it would be okay.
Let me go ahead. This is Heidi again. Let me go ahead and look for a time that is at the same time that the Naralo call is normally held. It probably won't be Monday because Monday morning is full of large meetings, which will probably you don't want to have that conflict.
Yeah. Tuesday or Wednesday, maybe, and I see Sylvia has indicated she did ask me, and I'm sure she did ask me, and I just haven't gotten to the email yet, so we'll sort it out. Some other positive developments and meetings coming up that were announced recently from our membership. The Canadian Internet Forum, sponsored by CIRA, who also sponsored us in Toronto, on September 16th in Montreal. If Glenn or Louis are on the call, do you have a minute just to give everybody a quickie on what this meeting is? Okay, if anybody's talking, I can't hear you. There's also an IETF meeting in Vancouver, which I've also been informed that Glenn is going to be attending, along with from staff Carlos Reyes, which is a positive development. Is somebody trying to talk?
Yeah. Hi, it's Glenn for the record.
Please.
Yeah, it's actually true. I'm going to both the event and the IP summit in Toronto in November as well. The CIRA event, that's the second one they're doing this year in Montreal, and it coincides with their AGM. So Evan and I will be attending that and probably be speakers at that event. The IETF, we're working closely with ISOC to have a booth at that event. And that's why I requested the Naralo brochures for both events. So back to the CIRA one on Sunday, we'll be there for Sunday and Monday. So I hope to have the brochures before I leave on Sunday.
Thank you very much, Glenn, for that brief. And then finally, we have 6, which is the Singapore meeting following in 2014. Okay, agenda number four, communication and outreach strategy. 4.1, this is something that we're continuing to work on, and I want to make a request of all of our members to come up with a list of 10 potential Neuralo ALSs to recruit that are in your community, and that could be literally in your community, geographically, city, state, region, province, et cetera, and then also organizations that are similar in nature. And don't worry about overlap with other people who might be submitting these lists. If we have overlap, then that's sort of like a, you know, an unconscious or silent consensus. And you can send me, if available, the organization's name, their business address, their website, and the contact name and email. And I'm going to be contacting all the Neuralo ALSs directly about this on a personal level to just discuss it and give everybody, you know, some pretty thorough instructions on how to do this. And I'll actually be sending out actual notices and letters to recruit these organizations. But if they come from you, if they come from our other memberships, you know, it's going to be a little bit more relevant to what you're seeing in your community. 4.2, I want to welcome Kerry Brown of ISOC Canada to our calls. I see that Kerry is on the Adobe chat. Is Kerry actually on the voice call? If you are, just can you please just say hello and introduce yourself?
You might need to unmute yourself.
Please go ahead, Kerry. Just a quick quick intro to you so everybody knows who you are and can hear your voice.
Hey, I'm one of the founding members of ISOC Canada. I'm also on the board of directors of CIRA. I've been on there for 5 years. I don't know. That's about it, I guess.
I think that's enough. This is Garth. We welcome you to our community and welcome you to the call, and we look forward to seeing your participation at other meetings. This is great. All right, 4.3, just a reminder about the various recruiting opportunities inside of Canada at the two meetings that Glenn discussed. 4.4, there's going to be an outreach webinar, and it's linked from there on Monday the 23rd at 1400 UTC. And also, Glenn noticed a budget item for ICANN Community Outreach and Travel Pilot Program. And I just wanted to check, Heidi, is this different, or is this the same as the one that you were talking about earlier?
This is Heidi. This is a different program.
Okay.
Which is going to be announced officially on Friday, and there have been Olivier and there have been some other internal calls with that with Olivier just to discuss how it's going to be handled within at-large. So stay tuned for that.
Okay. Thank you very much. We look
very quickly on that. Excellent news. I have to just wait. It's excellent news.
Okay. Great. I can't wait. All right, Scott, again, agenda number five, our community. All right, this was actually brought to my attention by Tom Lohenhaupt. I think it's a great idea. There are reserved strings within all the GTLDs for certain words that either should go for domains for certain communities or shouldn't be used at all for technical reasons. Tom is concerned, and now I am concerned, about the strings at hyphen large and at large within the new GTLDs. We want to keep these available, if possible, for the community and keep people from abusing them who don't deserve control over them. So I wanted to bring this discussion out to everybody and give Tom, if he's on the call, an opportunity just to give his viewpoint on the issue before I go over the specifics. Tom, if you're there.
Yeah. No, I think you covered it very well. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you, Tom. So I didn't completely screw up what he was thinking about. This is Garth again. In 5.1.1, we have the reference in Module 2 linked there for the applicant guidebook that refers to these reserved strings. 5.1.2, we have RFC 6761, which discusses the use of special use domain names. The current list is in 5.1.3, which are, you know, the strings that you might expect to be reserved for within the community, like ICANN, ALAC, and then some more technical ones like root servers, internic, invalid, et cetera, local host, things like that, local, that really shouldn't be used in the DNS. And then, of course, the community or internet structure, political structure groups that should be reserved for those groups. What we're looking to add, and I've actually expanded upon Tom's original list, is at large without the hyphen, Neuralo, LacRallo, AfRallo, URallo, and AppRallo to cover all the five regions. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to send just a note about this to the other leadership in the other regions to get their idea on it. Is there anybody here on the call who has an idea about what the actual process would be for getting this into the reserved list? Maybe Alan, if he's on the call, would be the best person to answer this question. But I actually don't see Alan Greenberg in the list. It's okay. We will figure it out, and we will move ahead with it. 5.2, I was invited to speak on the last LacRallo call. They were by Jose Arce and Sylvia, and they were really interested to hear about the things that we're doing within NeuralO for outreach and recruitment. And I was very happy to help out and share ideas with them. And we may have somebody from another region on one of our calls to discuss various ideas. And I think it's a great thing to do to have this kind of inter-regional cooperation. 5.3 is just a relist of all of our ROP changes, which were voted on. I'm not going to go over them one by one, but they're there for you to read if you want to. What I really want to do is go to 5.4, where we had a few no votes and an abstention, and I just wanted to give anybody an opportunity on this call to air their views about abstaining or voting no. I want to make sure that everybody's voice in the community is heard. Our rules of procedure are very, very important. And if anybody had any strong feelings about something that was changed or the process that we went through to change it, you have an opportunity to talk on this call. Or, you know, you can send me a private message if you want to talk about it privately, or one of the other leadership members would be happy to hear. Does anybody on the call right now want to talk about a no vote or an abstention? No? Sounds like I hear a horse galloping away, so we'll just move on. Like as we mentioned at the beginning of the call, the runoff vote for Secretariat to break the tie will commence at the close of this call today, and if anybody has any problems with their voting or their procedure or receiving their ballot, please let me or staff know. Moving on to 6 new GTLDs, reserving at large and at hyphen large. We will continue to discuss the details of this and come back to it in the future. We also have under 7 a number of community, committee, and working group activity summaries and links. We have a recent report from NONCOM provided by Glenn. They also announced the actual selections. And it was noted by some people that several of the selections for board had their origin in the fellows. They started out as fellows, and they've moved their way up, and now they're nominated for higher office within ICANN. And does anybody have any insight as to why that might be the case? Maybe an explanation of what the fellowship is, since many people may have not come into the community through a fellowship. nobody cares to comment on that? Okay. Hopefully soon our updates of the non-com of the nominating committee will come from Louis Uhl. Is Louis on the call? I do not see Louis's name in the list. That is okay. We have from the Future Challenges Working Group, we have a paper that was submitted by Evan. I know Evan's not on the call. We have ATRT issues, which are, Alan has been our contact for that, Alan Greenberg. There is a teleconference coming up on September 12th, and then there's an actual live meeting on September 19th in Washington, D.C. And is that ATRT meeting in Washington, D.C., is that open to the public, or is that just ATRT members? Maybe staff knows the answer to that question.
This is Heidi Garth. That's a very good question. I know Alan and Olivier will be there, so they'll definitely be keeping you up to date on the Skype chat. But I can find out whether it's an open call.
Yep, that would be great to find out if it's. I'm assuming it's going to happen at the ICANN offices in D.C., but maybe you don't even know that.
No, I don't. I can find out. This is Heidi again. I can find out.
Okay.
I'm assuming so as well, but I'll check.
Okay. Thank you very much. We also have a call coming up this week, September the 11th, for the FBSC. Is anybody on the call on that working group who cares to comment on that working group? And Eduardo has his hand up. Go ahead, Eduardo.
I'm in that working group, but I don't have anything to comment. I just want to say that, you know, I'm part of it. We haven't met for 2 months now, so.
Yes. Garth, this is Heidi. May I quickly respond to that, please?
Please.
So,
Thank you.
Yes, this is a call, and I'll put, Sylvia, if you could put the agenda for that call. This call, again, they're the group that does the coordination for the fast track and regular ACSO requests that are done every spring. So this call is going to be the results of the regular requests. And staff, there will be a member from staff, Rob Hogarth, who will be on that call announcing the results of the requests. That's the main point of the call this week.
Okay, thank you very much. So this is Garth again. 8.5, INGO-PDP working group, Wednesday the 11th also. Is there anybody on that working group that cares to comment? Eduardo has his hand up. Go ahead, Eduardo.
No, I have a comment about what Heidi said. Heidi, I remember I saw an Excel table that, it said, this pass, this not pass, that pass, this pass. Is that what that meeting is going to be about? I'm talking about the FSDC.
Eduardo, this is Heidi. I believe what you may have seen was a result of the fast track, which was announced, I believe, in June, May or June. So I don't know whether the results of the regular requests, that would be after the first 4 months of the fiscal year, if those have been publicly announced yet. I think they're just now announcing them by being on the various ACSO calls, and that's what this process is.
Okay, thank you. This is Professor Eduardo. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. So back to the other item. Is anybody on that working group, the IGO, INGO-PDP? No? All right, move on. Earlier today, there was an IRTP call. Is anybody from the region on that group? There was also a TTF call earlier today.
All right, this is Gordon Chilcott.
Yes, Gordon Chilcott, please.
Actually, there's two of us from that call on today.
Oh, great.
Well, today's call was a trial. I use that in both terms. We've been testing conferencing tools now for about a month, and each one of these tests is one call. Our regular meeting is next Monday on the 16th, and today's test was, as I put it, a trial. Anyway, that's a more complete report will follow.
Okay. This is Garth. Gordon, maybe you could just tell everybody what those two groups cover, just so everybody's up to date.
Two groups. What we're attempting to do. We spoke about a while ago about testing Lucid, which is a tool, a conferencing tool we're using regularly on the Technology Task Force. And a number of people asked us what other conferencing tools we were testing, which got us to thinking. And so far, we've been sort of making up a list and testing newer ones as they come into view. It, for me, it also coincides with some similar work that's going on inside my ALS, but that's another issue. So what we do is we select a conference tool and test it and this is usually off, not on the same day as our regularly scheduled meeting, which is rather full of other agenda items. I suspect there'll be another conferencing tool tested on the 23rd, but I'm not certain right now.
Okay. Thank you very much. This is Garth again. That's an excellent summary. Also, before you go away, Gordon, under 8.8, there was a comment you made about registrant rights and responsibilities in terms of, you know, directing to people to the proper authority in terms of resellers and registrars. And I was just wondering if you had a minute to share that comment with the region so everybody could know what you were talking about.
Yeah, I know. I was kind of, thank you, Garth. Gordon again. I think I might have been a wee bit incoherent in my comment as well. This matter went out to my ALS, and I got any number of responses back because it hit a pain point by some of my members, difficulties that they'd had with resellers. And a lot of them thought that, gee, here's something that I can actually read and work on. That was the first and most positive note. The second note was, why hasn't anybody told us? And it boils down to the fact that even in my rather technical community, not everybody has a strong feeling for what ICANN is or even if it's there. The fact that there's nothing in at least three of the reseller sites that I was directed to look at that suggests that ICANN has anything to do with what they're looking rather bothered me, and it bothered them as well. It's fine to have the tools available to make your concerns known to ICANN, and that's a rather good page, but it's another thing to let people know that they're there, and that's actually what I was trying to get at, and I want to thank Michele now for bringing to my attention that I hadn't voiced that concern terribly well.
Okay. All right. I'd be happy to work on, you know, maybe a really clear statement of that we can put into, you know, the chat or the next call later so everybody can benefit from that. Thank you very much. Okay. So if anybody else who is on a working group or any other kind of committee wants to share a report with the group once a month, this is where we would do it. You can forward the item to me, or you can just tell me that you need to discuss something on the call, and we'll add a slot for you. Thank you very much. Moving on to the at-large advisory committee issues, we have a number of items. One is a call of volunteers for the newly formed GNSO Metrics and Reporting Working Group. Is there anybody on the call who is on that committee and wants to comment about it? No. Okay. ALAC recently voted on a statement on the community for the priority evaluation guidelines update from ICANN. Tom, you have your hand up, please. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to mention that I volunteered for that committee, the metrics committee, and I believe I'm on it, and that's all I know for the moment. So I will follow up on it, and hopefully we'll have done something by the next meeting.
Okay, thank you very much. This is Garth again. There was also a vote on a statement to explore the draft next generation GTLD directory services model. Does anybody from ALAC or any other group wish to comment on that? No? Okay. There were a couple of other items that did not make it onto the agenda. They got scrubbed somehow. One of them is the issue of singular versus plural, potentially confusing strings within the new GTLDs. And there's been a lot of discussion back and forth about that. Does anybody on the call wish to summarize or bring up an issue that concerns them about it? No? Okay. I think that Alan was definitely part of some of that discussion, and maybe when he's on the call next time we can talk. Oh, wait. We have people with their hands up. Tom was first, and then Alan. Go ahead, Tom.
Yes, I read over the report on it, and I guess I sort of had seen that in the TLD realm that the that there was some sense to the idea of having a different singular, you know, singular versus plural. But it didn't seem to apply to in New York here. I've been thinking, and others about the singular and plural in terms of libraries, and the likes of things. And it didn't seem to apply to the second level, the logic that they applied to the first. And not that I totally agree with the top level singularity or differentiation between singular and plural, but that logic didn't seem to apply to the second level names. I'd just like to make that point.
Okay, thank you. Alan, you're next, please.
Thank you. Yeah, I was the one who raised this this time around. A couple of things. First of all, I believe that the standards that both the evaluation committee used and the board new GTLD committee used when deciding to essentially ratify the fact that they are different is they were using purely what I would call a string matching criteria. That is, do they look almost the same to an inanimate thing recognizing patterns? And I think that completely ignores the issue of perception. And the examples I gave is if you found something of interest, whether it was a site or reviews on, you know, Hilton.hotel, would you remember 4 months later it was really Hilton dot, whether it was Hilton.hotel or dot hotels? The two are roughly equivalent. And, you know, so I believe there's a real user issue of being misguided by these domain names. And in a normal world, I would say that the issue is closed, it's too late. However, the board is going to be, or the new GTLD committee is going to have to look at the issue specifically of .com and .cam, where we have two different evaluations for objections in the opposite direction to the same strings. There are also a number of objections that have been settled both for and against plurals being the same as singular. And I believe the board is going to have to look at it again. And if so, I think the ALAC should chime in and provide some advice.
Yeah, this is Garth. I would tend to agree with you. I think that this is some dangerous territory, and I'm with you on this. Does anybody else have any comments or concerns about that particular issue? Going once, going twice. Now, Alan, now that you're back on the call, we had a discussion earlier about potentially reserving at-large related strings within the new GTLDs, making those special use or reserved strings. And we're wondering if you had any idea of what the process or procedure is for doing that, for getting them on the list.
Are you talking about at the second level, at the first level?
At the first level for, you know, we don't so we can have, you know, at large dot whatever reserved.
But at the first level, so we're talking about future rounds.
No, I'm sorry. I mean second level. I mean, you know, the actual an actual domain name, not a TLD, a domain name.
That's one that I believe the ship has sailed on. You know, if the GAC were to come out and say it, the board would have to consider it. just as they are with, you know, Red Cross and IOC and IGOs and things like that. I cannot see getting the amount of public support, you know, public being different parts of ICANN and especially the GAC and the board involved in that, when they have chosen to reserve specific names already, but not the various derivations of them and permutations of them. So my personal take is, you know, it's far too late on that one. I can't see that one being reopened with enough of a groundswell from or even support from particularly strong other players to do that at this point.
Okay, this is Garth. I still want to
push back on things like the Red Cross on the IGOs, which have strong government support. I can't see that happening, but you know, we could certainly raise the issue. I wouldn't put a lot of hope that we would win on that one, though.
Right. This is Garth again. I think that the feeling is that because these particular strings that we're talking about are part of, I guess, the ICANN, you know, chartered structure, that they might fall under the same category as, you know, ALAC, as, I guess, RIPE, ARIN, IETF, that there might be a good reason to kind of just add them to the list, and we may want to do that in the future.
In the future, perhaps, for new TLDs, you know, unless ICANN decides to protect a whole range of related names, which it hasn't. I mean, it's protected the names of the various constituent parts of ICANN, but not, you know, not derivations of it, not strings contained within, and those kind of things. It, you know, it can certainly be discussed in the next round. At this point, you know, given that our general position is let's not make changes unless there are real inconsistencies within the guidebook which lead to conflicts, and I believe the singular and plural is one of those, you know, and we have set up rules, essentially in all of the string similarity rules, we've set up rules which are conflicting within themselves in the applicant guidebook, and therefore decisions will have to be taken. I can't see introducing brand new things at this point.
Okay. We're still going to go through the process to figure it out and see what we can do.
Yeah, I'm giving you an evaluation of whether I think it's likely to succeed, not that it shouldn't be taken up on principle.
Right. Well, understood. Thank you very much, Alan. Okay. Going back down through our agenda, there was also one other item, I guess, that was ALAC-related business that I had put on there. It was that the dotless domains are not going to be allowed. That was definitely something, and that has my approval. Now, while we're still on this agenda item, does anybody from ALAC have any business that they wish to bring up which wasn't on the agenda?
I have one thing, Alan.
Please, Alan.
A repeat call has just gone out for a GNSO working group. Where, in general, across the whole community, they got so little interest that they had to make a second call. And I would suggest it's worth looking at. It has, unfortunately, amongst the most boring names they could imagine, and that's a working group on uniformity of reporting, which sounds as dull as anything. The real thrust of it is a bunch of years ago, when looking at abuse of domain names, one of the issues that came up, and it's come up within TDPs as well, is that it's very hard to draft really good policy when it's based on information which you don't have. And a lot of the complaints that come in about domain name usage never get past registrars and registries. And as a result, ICANN has no real data on which to understand what are the significant problems, what are the patterns, and how to go about getting data like that. And this is a working group. It's not a PDP. It might eventually go to a PDP. But it's a working group to try to understand what kind of data is out there and what kind of data might be collected either voluntarily or perhaps non-voluntarily to allow ICANN to track what's going on and set policy to prevent the various types of abuses that do occur with domain names. And it's really uncharted territory, and it could well be an interesting working group to participate in. There may well be significant pushback from registrars and registries, or there may be some who are willing to cooperate and talk about it openly. So if anyone's interested in those kind of subjects, then I would strongly suggest you volunteer.
Alan, this is Garth. You just got your first new volunteer. That was an excellent summary. I had no idea that it was going to cover that kind of information.
Well, to be honest, exactly what it covers is going to depend on the group. But, you know, there's some interesting territory out there which is unexplored, and it may end up being a dud or it may end up being with something good coming out of it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
This, by the way, is not the working group. This is the drafting team drafting the charter. So this
right.
is, in fact, the group to get into to try to make sure the working group will look at the right things.
Right. Okay. All right. Coming down to the end of the hour, and I want to give anybody an opportunity on the call to bring up any other item that they are concerned about. I did list a recent article that was shared with At Large by Dev from Lacrallo about the great internet land grab, which I only had a chance to really skim over before the call. But it's in the New Yorker, and it's linked within the agenda underneath any other business, and it's a good read. So,
I presume you talked about the election, which should be starting almost momentarily?
Yes, that's going to be the next item. I want to make sure that everybody's ready with their to vote, and I hope everybody does participate. We had really good turnout for the ROP vote, and I was really happy to see everybody's participation there. And I thank everybody for everybody's patience in kind of unwinding the situation from the tie to the ROP issues, and I appreciate everybody's attention to it.
Okay, and just to keep people up to date, the unaffiliated members did not have a vote on the new operating procedures because of a quirk in the procedures that is now fixed. But unaffiliated members will be voting amongst themselves, and their result will be cast as a single vote into the overall ALS vote by me. So everyone, both ALS, well, not everyone, ALS representatives and unaffiliated members will be getting a ballot.
Okay. Thank you very much, everybody. And if nobody has any other items, and I don't see any hands up, I will conclude the call, and we can get right down to voting. Thank you very much, everybody.
Hi, all. Again, this is Heidi. Garth, just really quickly, Alan and Garth. Alan, are you still
there?
Yeah, Alan. Alan, we need the text for the exact question. And again, it's not immediately. It's going to be in about 3 hours. Okay, 2359 UTC.
In the ICANN world, that's immediate.
Okay. Okay. Okay, thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Thank
bye-bye.
You.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you all.
Adios.